All right, so Acts chapter 1, and we're not going to, you know, when you see 1 through 10, don't worry, we're not going to be here till 6 o'clock. We're gonna tackle the first 10 chapters, but really, I've been sharing this, the Lord put on my heart last month, kind of, the messages for this week, or this month, rather, and kind of kicking off the new year with the New Year's message, and then this week and next week, I'm going to share on just some highlights from the pastor's conference that Mark and I went to last year out in Southern California. We went sort of a, I might call a bird's eye view through Acts, and even in that, it wasn't every chapter, right? Each prayed over a passage that they were in one case, one verse that they wanted to share from. So we'll dive into that, and I'm going to share not just, read what they said, obviously. I took some notes, but kind of what God spoke to me through that, and some principles that I feel like he's put on my heart in terms of for us, right, into 2022. And so we'll pick it up in Acts chapter 1. And again, just, I was really blessed. We had been just a couple months before that down in Kansas City with the regional pastors and leaders conference. And, obviously some overlap in the people that were attending. But the theme, and this isn't organized, believe me, I'm on the regional team here in the Midwest. I mean, God had put some things on Jim's heart and all of our hearts as speakers, but it's not coordinated, right, with the international conference. But the themes were very similar. And I think it's because it's what God's doing, right? God's moving through the movement. God's moving most importantly by his Spirit. And so I've titled this message, Following God's Priorities in 2022, and some hindrances, right? Following God's priorities in 2022 and some hindrances that can get in the way of that. And as we dive into a new year, we've talked about this, right? It's an opportunity to sort of reflect on, what we might want to sharpen in our lives, strengthen in our lives. Really, most importantly, what is God speaking to us as individuals about our relationship with him? And as I mentioned last week, I hope the very first thing that comes to mind is his love for you, right? That should really be a precursor in any thinking that we do on the Lord, right? Everything flows out of his love. God is love, and so even his chastening, his correction flows out of his perfect love. So I'll even share with you kind of the pastor, and these were all leaders of the movement, right, who shared from these passages. And so I'll have some quotes and stuff, but we'll be looking to the word that they shared from as well. And so the first passage, Joe Foss shared from Acts chapter 1, and really the focus was on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, we'll read these verses. I think one of them shares from a whole chapter, so we won't read the whole chapter for time's sake, but I'll kind of recap for you. But here, of course, in Acts chapter 1, just before Jesus ascends, right? Let's pick it up in verse 1. So the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And so this is Luke writing, by the way, which is the former account he mentions we're going to be studying in probably 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks. Next week, we'll wrap up the messages from the pastor's conference. January 23rd, I hope everybody can make it. Pastor Jim Stewart, who is our regional leader here from Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, will be speaking here on the 23rd. And then, assuming I get through all of these, then we'll start into Luke. If I don't, then I might have to finish up. But we'll see how the Lord takes that. But I hope everybody can make it. Jim's a great guy. We've been blessed a lot of times by going down there. And I was really happy. Usually he MCs and he shares a little bit here and there as he's leading it, but this last time he actually taught, and it's a great blessing. And he has a lot of stuff online as well if you're interested. But anyways, that's kind of where we're headed. And so Luke, right, who is writing Acts, the first part of it you'll see, the first part of it writing based on detailed interviews, and then through the way his terminology changes rather than saying they or the brothers or whatever, he says we. So it appears he joined them at some point along the way in person. He was a doctor, so very detailed. But anyways, we'll talk more about that. Verse 2, and of all the things that Jesus both began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. And after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. Right, we've talked at length about the evidence of his resurrection, right? The evidence of his deity, you know, but many infallible proofs being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Being assembled together with them, Luke says, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly, that's John the Baptist, truly baptized with water, right? A baptism of repentance. But you, us as believers, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the overflowing of the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about this as an event sometimes at the time of salvation, generally subsequent to our salvation, where we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But Joe Foch made a good point, right? And we've talked about this when we've been through Acts, that it's not so much an event as an ongoing life, being filled with the Spirit, that overflowing relationship with God's Holy Spirit. And he says that you'll be baptized. And so Jesus, he had to ascend so that the Holy Spirit could be given, right? And so he talked about that. So therefore, verse 6, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Right? They are always looking for that, if you will, that political deliverance, right? Looking for that control, if you will, that the nation of Israel had lost to the Romans. And so he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons with the Father, which the Father has put under his own authority. So in other words, you won't know, right, when he's going to return. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, or you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So some really cool things here, right? I mentioned that this idea of the filling or the baptism of the Spirit, some people get hung up on the terminology. Don't get hung up on the terminology. Get committed to the relationship. Get committed to, as my pastor used to say, being under the fount where the glory comes out, right? Being filled with God's Spirit. And we see an important principle here that is something that I want to be more committed to this year, right? He says, he says, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when they had come together, right, back up to verse 4, right? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, to wait on the Lord. It's important for us to spend that time, have that relationship, foster that relationship, feed that relationship with the Lord if we're going to be empowered by him and used by him. Joe said, you can't be sent from him if you haven't been with him, right? You can't be sent from him if you haven't. So here, as Luke is sharing, that Jesus had commanded them to wait for the promise, wait for the empowering. Now, this is unique. It's radical in that it's the initial, the first outpouring, or it will be after Jesus ascends, of the Holy Spirit. Right, in the Old Testament times, people were anointed for tasks, for calls and such. But it's important for us to wait on the Lord, to spend time with the Lord. And that's really our first point. You can't be sent from him if you haven't been with him. Therefore, spend time with Jesus. Right? Following God's priorities in 2022 And then some hindrances that can get in the way of that, right, as we're going to talk about. One of God's priorities for us, we see here from Acts chapter 1, is spending time with him, waiting on him, being filled with his presence. And we do that by prayer, right? Part of prayer, and one of the, that can be one of the more challenging parts, one of the most challenging parts is like not always praying for myself, right? You know? Another part can be just quietly listening to the Lord. But it's important to do that, both through reading God's word, right? The primary way that God speaks to us is through God's word. And the times that he speaks to our heart, which he does speak to our heart, into our spirit, we need to make sure that what we believe we're hearing from the Lord lines up with God's word. Therefore, back to, it's important to be in God's word, right? So to spend that time with the Lord. You know, a lot of these, right, all really except John, would become martyrs, right? And we often think of martyrs, all those brothers and sisters who have died for the faith. And that's true, they are. Dying for the faith proves that they're martyrs. But not everybody who's a martyr dies for the faith. A martyr is someone who is willing to die for the faith. It is God, and it's not that we have a death wish, right? But I love life. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff God has blessed us with on this planet, right? But being willing to die for a cause, and in this case, the cause of Christ, that's a martyr. You could be a martyr for a country. You know, and many brave men and women have gone before us and martyred themselves for our freedoms. And we should be very, very grateful for that, you know, and respect that and honor that, you know. But there's a lot of people who are alive that are martyrs because they're willing to die, right? And so martyrdom, once you die for it, that proves that you were a martyr, but they're willing to die. And they had just spent these 40 days of with the Lord, right, here on the earth. And so he gives them these instructions to wait, to wait for him. And so that's one of our takeaways. Spend time with the Lord. And it's the second thing I want to point out is that why he fills us with his power, right? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. It's something that we are, right? We think I need to go witness. And there's times to do that. Hey, let's go hand out tracts, or let's go share our faith, you know. But really, we are filled with this power to be his witnesses. And that's wherever we go. The different life, the changed life, the new life that we have in the Lord is our witness or part of our witness for him. I like one of the points that Joe made. He said, God didn't fill us with his Holy Spirit to make us woke, right, to make us politically or socially perfect. Some of those things are fine, don't get me wrong, but that's not why God filled us. That's not the primary purpose. But he filled us with his Spirit to share the love of Jesus with the hurting world, right? And that really encapsulates, right, the things that are truly God's priorities. And there might be fine, if you know me, I'm all for us being involved socially, politically in our communities. We should be. You know, why shouldn't we? People say they, you know, are out to get us, or they, you know, the famous they said this, or they say. I'm like, who's they? How about if we become the they? Why can't we, right? Why can't we become the influencers, right? That's what they're talking about at the end of the day. Whoever they are, right? Let's be part of they. You know, not joining them, but let's become, right, an influence for Jesus. That's what he's saying here. You shall be my witnesses. Just by who you are, as you go about your day, the way you treat people, loving one another. And so, but our primary focus, one of my personal goals, and I invite you to be a part of this, is to be more of a person of waiting on the Lord, praying to the Lord, seeking to the Lord. You heard Mark mention, you've heard me talk a lot about our prayer ministry. In fact, I meant to create a special one, but everybody has one of these in their bulletin. If you're not getting emails on from the prayer chain, the CCLH prayer team, write your email on here and just drop it in the box. I encourage you to do that. There's no pressure or anything, but just an opportunity to pray for things that come up. And it's stuff that people have asked for prayer for in 95 times out of 100, right? But write your email on there. Tear off, maybe you're taking some notes. So don't interrupt your notes, but you tear off a little corner of it and write your email and drop it in. And maybe we'll make a special one next time. But just drop it in the box so you can get on the prayer chain, just so you can pray during the week. Reminders to pray and to intercede for the body. I mentioned earlier the men's study, ladies study that we're starting up in March. Some really, really cool things, right? Opportunities. It's important to gather together. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one sharpens another, right? And so as we gather together and we work through things, it's not that, like, I'll be honest, most of these things, not there's like a right or wrong answer per se. Having those conversations is part of what grows us. And we can do that. It's important. I found in my life, the times I've grown spiritually the most or I've matured the most is often in adversity, right? And how we handle that adversity. And believe me, I've learned plenty of what not to do, right? The hard way. I prefer to learn it by seeing someone else make the mistake. I would rather learn by seeing someone else. And as much as you can do that, right? But unfortunately, I remember going to my pastor, Bob, probably, good night. It's hard to say 30 years ago, but aren't I just 30? It might've been 30-ish years ago. Maybe probably a little bit less than that. And I went and I said, Bob, I appreciate Raw. I'll talk about Raw in a little bit if I get there today. And a lot of the guys, a lot of the pastors, right? I felt called to ministry, and I wanted to do it right. And I said, I appreciate all the books, that these guys have written about the mistakes they made, and very open. I try to be just as transparent. I mean, there's guys, I suppose, that try to pretend they're perfect. I gave that up a long time ago. You know what I mean? I'm not, and who is? And so. But I appreciate that about these guys. But as I get in the ministry, I don't want to make those mistakes. And he sort of chuckled, like not in a bad way, right? He said, "You're going to make mistakes," But the context of the conversation was specific, like with my family. A lot of guys have talked very openly about the hardship on family of people in ministry, because really your family in some respects is a big part of that. And I want to protect my family from that. And he said, you're gonna make mistakes. And he's right. Looking back that 30, 20, 7 years or 8 years, whatever it's been. Yeah, it's true. We want to, but God uses time and adversity, pressure to change us. So I encourage as much as you can and come out and be a part of these studies. Other times of gathering, right, our potlucks, that's really the reason. It's not just because I like food. That's one of my goals, right? Not just for 2022, but, reduce that. But keep the time together is what we do that for. We're having other, prayer times, perhaps some movie nights this year. But reach out to one another, right? Get prayer through the prayer chain, right? Be a part. And so, but above all, remember God's love for you. Remember, as he says here in Acts and the point, you can't be sent from the Lord if you haven't been with him. So spend time with Jesus. And one of the things that gets in the way of that is our perception of God's approval, right? We think that I blew it. We think that because I blew up yesterday, or I didn't pray enough this morning, or I didn't give enough last month, or whatever it is, or what I said, or, you know, I ran somebody off the road, whatever it is, like we think we blew it, and we see God's love, we understand God's love, and we tend to equate that with our performance, right? In our culture, and it's not, performance isn't a bad thing, and having measures of performance isn't a bad thing. How else do we get better, right? But we can tend to equate God's love for us and his approval of us and his acceptance of us with our performance. So I have a good prayer time, and I read the word, and I feel like, man, God's love for me is right here, and here I had a good day. And then I slip up, you know, and wherever your trigger is, you know, maybe it's on the road, maybe it's at work, maybe it's, you know, something in your head. Anybody else ever have, right? And so I blow it. You know, my performance goes down, so all of a sudden I think of God's love for me going down. Oh, now I had, tomorrow's a good day, so God's approval is back up here. God loves me. But now I only prayed for a few minutes this morning, or I was selfish today. And so, you know, my performance is down, and now God's love for me is down. What's hard to wrap our minds around is this is not dependent upon this. It's called our position versus our experience, our practice. This never changes. God's love for you is not contingent upon your performance. Now, we want to do well. We want to please the Lord, and that's honorable, and we should, because of what he's done for us. But when things aren't good, this doesn't change. And don't ever forget that, right? That's one huge benefit of always making sure you spend some time with the Lord. To be reminded, remember this morning we had communion. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember God's love, because we're going to have days that our performance, unfortunately, doesn't line up with God's love or God's standards every day, really, if we're honest. But that's why it's important that we understand and remember God's love for us. And don't let our performance or lack of performance get in the way of understanding God's view of us, because his view of you is, this is my beloved child with whom I'm well pleased. Once you place your trust and your faith in Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, he sees you in Christ. And that's how that is how that legitimately can always be the same, because he sees you in Christ. It's not because of us. If it was us, up and down, up and down, up and down. Oh, by the way, it'd never be up here. You know, and so it'd be more like up and down, up and down. But it's always up, 100%, because he loves you, because it's not based upon us, it's based upon him. So don't ever forget that. So now jump over to Acts chapter 2, right? So remember, waiting, time with the Lord, from that power to be his witnesses, wherever you're at. You know, we don't have to go to Russia to be his witnesses. I have friends that have been there, right? A lot of us have probably gone overseas, but we can go witness, and that's great, but we're to be his witnesses right where we are, but we have to spend time with him. So secondly, Bill Goodrich, I actually spent part of a lunch with him and his wife, really, really, really nice guy. I'm always a little bit, convicted is not the right word. I don't feel bad about it. Challenged is probably a better word. These guys are so loving. You sit and talk to them and like, Lord, help me to be that gracious. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we know our own heart and our own mind. It's like, but then, you know, after enough time, you realize, well, they have struggles too. You know, they think bad about people from time to time too, or whatever. But anyways, really, really nice guy. Been a part of the Calvary Chapel leadership for many, many, many years. And his sort of the push of his message was continue steadfastly, right? Persevere in the Lord. And he took this from Acts 2:42. We talked about this, right? This is, on the back of our bulletins, right? I started the message when we talked about our vision with Acts 2:42. It's sort of a you know, obviously it's God's word and sort of a Calvary lifetime verse, if you will. And it says this, that they continued steadfastly. And that means dutifully firm, unwavering, to adhere to be devoted to or constant to persevere and not faint, to show oneself courageous for, or to be constant in readiness for, right? So to continue to be steadfast, just keep going, right? Keep swinging, keep rowing, keep pressing on, to continue steadfastly. So they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And so the kind of the focus here from Acts 2 was centered around this verse. If you jump to verse 40, it gives us a little bit of context, which I think is important and relevant for us today. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and about 3,000 souls were added to them. So Bill pointed out four things which I think are important. First is the present situation that they found themselves in which he's encouraging them to be courageous, to stand fast, to persevere in your faith. And that doesn't mean some grand thing, you know, like those are great. And those are important when God gives the opportunity. But where it really shows is in our day-to-day life. To just be loyal to Jesus. Do what Jesus, you know, work in the manner that God would have you to work. Love your family. You know, one thing in the men's study, we think of leadership. Well, I'm not a business leader. I'm not a church leader. We're all called to leadership. I remember many years ago on a Wednesday night, Pastor Bob asked, "Raise your hand if you consider yourself a leader." You know, and, you know, some folks did. And he said, really, every hand should be up in the room as a Christian. To some degree, we're all leaders. And so as we come together starting in March, we'll be looking at how we better lead our families and lead in our communities. I'm a big encourager, right? You guys know, of being involved in our communities in some way. You know, if you're in school, you're already involved in your community, right? If you work out in the community, you're already involved. Sometimes it takes being intentional, right? But being involved, maybe sports or maybe some community organization. There's all sorts of opportunities. I'm a big, big encourager of that. And so important for us, I believe, but to be courageous, to be involved, to continue living that life for the Lord wherever you're at. You know, sometimes we think, you know, I don't teach on Sunday morning, or I don't go out and do street witnessing every month or even every year. Man, am I failing? No, wherever you're at, be just being loyal to Jesus. In your home, in your workplace, and guys, as men, will be sharpening one another in leadership in those various ways in our relationships. So first, Bill noted the present situation was, as Peter just said, a perverse generation. Anybody identify with that? You know what I mean? So they're in a perverse generation. Notice then, though, the wonderful beginning, right? That the 3,000 souls were saved. This message that Peter preached, by the way, it wasn't prepared. Doesn't take super long to read through. He just got up and just started talking from his heart. We all can do that, right? Whatever you know. You don't feel like we have to go to, you know, have a 3-point message. It's not bad to have one prepared, by the way, in your mind, to be kind of ready in season and out of season. But your testimony, what God's done in your life, everybody can share that. And no one can take that away from you. No one can contradict that. I mean, they can try, but it's your testimony. Right? Sort of nonsensical for them to try. And notice here the exhortation to remain steadfast. Remain steadfast in this perverse generation. Notice, number four, the vehicle. or the tool. The vehicle or the tool, they continued steadfastly in God's word, the apostles' doctrine, right? Teaching. And in fellowship, being together, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. This is the tool, this is the vehicle by the way that they were able to continue steadfastly. And then the fruit. And then, as I mentioned earlier, he said, keep on swinging, right? We can only, we don't get to choose the consequence or the result. We do get to choose our action, what we do. And so keep on going for it. Third, this one will be kind of brief, but let me see. This is in Acts chapter 4. Bill Stonebreaker, he's in Hawaii, and they've had a lot of government overreach. We're all very familiar with that term. We're pretty blessed, honestly, in our state here in Iowa. They weren't so blessed. He was very involved in trying to impact change. And in Acts 4, verse 13, Peter and John had been arrested. They had addressed the Sanhedrin, right? You're familiar with this overall passage, threatened. And in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, right? These are people that were persecuting them. These were people that were opposed to the message of the cross, the message of Christ. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, so much for that idea that we all need to go to seminary to be able to teach God's word or to be able to exhort other people in the Lord, right? Share what God's done in your life. Share that God loves them, right? They were uneducated and untrained men, but when they observed this and they saw the boldness, they marveled, and here's the key, they realized that they had been with Jesus. That was the changing factor. They had been with Jesus. Back to Acts chapter 1, right? Spend time with Jesus. Enjoy the Lord. Bill said this, and this is our third point. If ever there was a time to get stirred up for Jesus, the time is now. Right? If ever there was a time to get stirred up for the Lord, get involved in the cause of Christ, the time is now. You look around, right? And how can we be, how can I make a difference? Talk to one person. It doesn't have to, you know, if God gives you more, praise God, right? There's somebody in your life that you can share God's love with. Absolutely all of us. And do it. And for some of us, there's more. And the cool thing about that is you interact with people that I may never have the opportunity to, right? It's our sphere, our area of influence. So do it, right? If ever there was a time to get stirred up for Jesus, the time is now, right? And he's bouncing off of this reality here, right? That the boldness, right? They were stirred up. He said, be proud and be brave in the Lord and you'll be heard. You know, and then he's had a lot of interaction with the governor over there in Hawaii and government, local officials, you know, as a lot of churches have that the government has tried to shut down for various reasons and pushing back against that. Here, Peter and John, they observe their boldness, their confidence. By the way, which is different than being obnoxious, right? You ever known someone who's obnoxious, right? Obnoxious does not mean boldness, right? And boldness does not mean obnoxious. Sometimes someone might be perceived as that, right? But their boldness, their confidence in the Lord. And when he says be proud, sometimes we, you know, repel against that idea. Be proud of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with being proud of Jesus, what he's done for us, right? Be proud, be brave in the Lord, and you'll be heard. Doesn't mean be obnoxious, doesn't mean cause trouble unnecessarily. Sometimes the gospel does stir things up. Sometimes our faith stirs things up. But be bold, be confident in the Lord. Pastor Rawl then, I'll be honest with you, I'm not really sure which passage he was supposed to do because he just completely ignored it, which is fine. You know, God put something else on his heart and it's critical. I'm so glad. Rather than being in Acts, he went to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Well, let's jump over there real quick. And if you're not familiar with Raul, go Google and listen. He's on Snapchat and Facebook. And it's kind of funny. I think sometimes you get to a point, you know, as you age, you know, you kind of don't worry so much about certain things. He speaks pretty freely. I mean, he's been there, done that, been beat up and beat others. I mean, if you know his testimony, you know what I mean? So I love it. Here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and this is the verse he taught, and I have Paul, right? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Our fourth point, six words, but only two different words. The cross, the cross, the cross. The cross, the cross, the cross. Don't forget about the cross. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul says. It is not me who live any longer, but Christ lives in me. Be crucified with Christ. Look what he's done, right? We love God because he first loved us. It's a response to what he's done. So be crucified with him. Sometimes we can get feeling sorry for ourselves, right? I do. We all do. All right, this or that. Oh, woe is me. Never feel alone, by the way, right? You know why we can say never feel alone? Whatever you're going through, oh, nobody knows the struggle I have, or the sin I have, or the hurt I have, or the pain I have, or the shame I have. The Bible contradicts that thinking, by the way. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to mankind. Whatever you're going through, it's common. You're not alone. The devil wants you to think you're alone. The devil wants you to think that you're the only one dealing with whatever, fill in the blank. But you are not. And the Bible says you are not. You're not the odd duck out, right? I mean, there are some people that you can maybe make a good case. I'm kidding, right? Right. But I mean, you're not alone. Is my point, right? Sometimes you might think I'm odd, and I'm okay with that because I probably am. But I mean, you're not alone, and what you're dealing with is not something that nobody else has dealt with. So realize that. And if you doubt that, you're doubting God's word. So don't doubt God's word, right? You're not alone. And so Raul said, don't feel sorry for yourself. Look what they did to Jesus. Are we any better than Jesus? If we feel sorry for ourselves about what has happened to us, Jesus doesn't. Why should we? Right? Press on. In fact, I think it's John Maxwell that said this. You can't stop having negative thoughts. Anybody else hate those negative thoughts? Self-talk, some people call it. You can't stop having negative thoughts, but you can stop allowing it to grow into negative thinking. You can't stop those thoughts from coming, but you can stop. It's your decision to stop it from growing into negative thinking. Right? Your mind is like a garden. Care well for it. I've shared about my friend Gary Rosberg, who always, every email, I think about every text, every message, speaking to 75 churches on Thursday, guard your heart. Proverbs 4, we've talked a lot about that too. Guard your heart, guard your mind. Be careful what you allow in. Ross shared eight things, and for time we'll just kind of blow through these. Eight things about the cross. Number one, it's a must. Got to look to the cross. Number two, it reconciles, right? The ministry of reconciliation. It reconciles God with man. Number three, it makes enemies, right? Don't be surprised when there's going to be those out there who oppose you or what you believe, and it's not personal, they oppose Jesus. I wish they didn't. I don't like it when it becomes to feel personal, but it is what it is. It's not personal, right? The cross is foolishness, the Bible says, to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. So the cross does make enemies, but it also brings peace. Brings peace to hearts, to minds, to families, right? We've got to submit to it, to Jesus, but it brings peace. It crucifies the world, Well, we're already in Galatians. Just jump over a page, probably to chapter 6, verse 14. It says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Right? The cross crucifies the world to us and us to the world. It separates us for Jesus. Right? It saves us from the wrath of God. One reason that I believe that the next thing on the prophetic calendar is Christ returning to this earth in bodily form. Right? I don't think God is going to take us into a time of his wrath being poured out upon the earth, because the cross, the wrath of God, has already been poured on Christ at the cross, and he stands in my place. I don't believe we'll go into the tribulation, and frankly, I'm pretty thankful for that. I think there's a lot of Old Testament references and proofs, but it saves us from the wrath of God. It redeems us, and above all, back to my first point, right, it demonstrates his love for you. Don't ever forget about God's love. That's the hope we have, right? God's plan for us is a life in that more abundantly, Jesus said. Sin, though, gets in the way of that. And that apparent problem is solved on the cross of Christ, where he voluntarily paid the price for our sin. And the response, our response, is to receive that, to believe it, to follow him. And then last but not least, I think, this was Sandy Adams, and if you haven't listened to him, jump back over to Acts. This is actually chapter 10. Again, we won't go through in great detail as far as that, but that you're familiar with the passage where Peter is waiting on a roof, and God lowers down a kind of a sheet from heaven and presents food to eat that would be forbidden for a good Jewish man like Peter was, right? And he says, "Take and eat." And Peter says, "Oh no, Lord, I have not. I would never do that." Right? But God is instituting this new covenant, this new, you know, the gospel, right? This is the time of the gospel. And so he calls then, you know, he's sending Peter to the Gentiles, right? He's going to go to the house of Cornelius and share the gospel, and many are going to be saved, and to everybody's surprise, baptized with the Holy Spirit immediately. And Sandy shared, he called his message God's new menu. It was new. Blew the mind of a good Jewish boy, right? But our point is, change is hard, but not changing is harder, right? God calls us to be transformed. That's change, right? This was hard for Peter to wrap his mind around. And he said, "Not so, Lord." He was saying no to God. Think about that for a minute. God just said, "Take and eat." And he said, "Oh, no. I can't do that. That's against the rules. It's against my conscience." Right? Sandy pointed out, he said, how often has God given new direction and we haven't listened? You know, kind of you think of a new year, right? And again, that time of reflecting. Three things that Peter had to overcome: his own prejudice. He had to overcome precedent. Oh, no, we'd never eat that kind of thing, right? And then his own preference. Three things he pointed out. Let me ask you this, because he challenged us with, what work might God be wanting to do in your life that anyone or all of these things are getting in the way of? Some steps are hard for us to take because we've never taken them before. You know, how does God want us to grow this year? How does God, you know, and it's not for, okay, 2023, I can stop growing. Oh, no, there'll be more stuff, right? Well, that's good, because God loves us. But change is hard. But when God is calling us to change, I found, and I think the Bible supports, not changing is even harder. In fact, the Bible says the way of the unfaithful is difficult, right? So, he had a few points here. All growth requires change. You ever think about that? As we grow, we're going to change. All growth requires change. I know I want to grow. I need to grow a lot. You know, not as much maybe as I did last year, but we all need to grow, right? We should be lifetime learners, constantly growing. So all growth requires change. All change requires loss. Think about that, right? Because you're changing. Something's going away. You know, but you think about stuff that you used to be really important to you that no longer is important to you. Okay, yeah, at one point I thought I couldn't live without. You know, for me, at one point I thought I couldn't live without alcohol. You know, and I remember trying to, a roommate and I, before I got saved, trying to, we're going to go a month. We made it about 10 days. And it was hard. Leaving it all in the cupboard probably wasn't a great idea. But you know, now I don't miss it a bit. So like at one point, what seemed impossible, I don't miss it, you know, at all. And so all change requires loss, but often at the end of the day, we're not really losing. And then all loss requires pain. There's a little bit of a tearing, you know. And so we don't like it. And he said something else thought-provoking. He says, at times, the worst enemy of God's spirit in our lives is our own conscience. Even our conscience has to surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Part of Peter's struggle with that sheet was, my conscience won't permit me to do this. And God was calling him to do it. Sometimes we can have an overactive, you know, our conscience is a safeguard, so don't get me wrong. Okay, I just neglect my conscience. Don't neglect your conscience. But seek the Lord above your conscience, right? In other words, yes, Lord, I'll do anything you say that I'll do. Clearly for you, right as we wrap up, clearly for you, one of God's priorities is your relationship with him. Nurture it, foster it, pour into it. And as you sense God speaking to you about change, about growth, about priorities, write this down, an acronym, an acrostic, about setting goals. And it's called SMART. And this isn't original to me. It's widely used, right? But make sure that your goals, you know, first of all, don't go set 20 goals for the next month, right? You can only accomplish so many things at one time. Make sure they're specific, that they're measurable, right? SMART. You have to know whether or not you're going to get to the goal or if you've made progress along the way. That they're achievable, right? You know, don't go set a goal. I'm going to lose. I need to lose another, you know, 35 pounds, 45, I don't know, a lot of pounds. But like, if I try to do it by the end of February, you know what I mean? But I am going to do it. Here I am saying it publicly, by the middle of July, right? So make sure that it's achievable. You know, I need to lose 45 pounds, but I'm not going to lose it by the end of February. You know, and now if I stand sideways, you might think I'm gone by the time I do that. So we'll see. But make sure it's achievable, realistic, right? Make sure that it's relevant, something that's important to you. And I would suggest if God's calling you, already lost 10, by the way. So you know, got to start somewhere though. You know, if it's important to you, it helps to, you know, make it happen. And if God's calling you to, I would suggest that it's important. The last but not least, make sure it's timely. Make sure it's the right time. I mean, there's times in life, you know, if I was, you know, you know, I don't know, sick in bed or something, maybe that wouldn't be a good time to have goal to lose weight, or maybe that would be a great time. But if you can't be active, in other words, right? And so make sure it's timely. So it's specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and timely. And so these things I want to encourage us in as we follow God's priorities into 2022 and beyond. Amen? All right, I'm going to close us in prayer. And then today we have the great honor of dedicating Izzy to the Lord. And so I'll share a little bit about that. We'll pray and we'll turn off the camera here. And then we get to have a dedication. So everybody please hang out. God, thanks so much for that today, Lord, and just what a great blessing that it is to come into your presence, Lord, together, to gather together. Lord, we know that you're everywhere, but in a special way to gather together in person, to celebrate you, to worship you, to draw near to you, to learn of you. And God, I pray, I know some of these things are, I mean, they challenge me, God, but I want to grow, and so therefore I'll go, Lord. And I'll go down these roads that you want me to go down, and I'm really grateful, to be honest. And so I pray that we could all receive what you have for us, God, but above all, that we would be committed to that relationship with you, spending time with you, loving on you, being loved by you, experiencing afresh the love that you have, God, because we see it clearly in your word. We know it's life-changing and transforming. So God, we thank you for that. And we commit ourselves afresh to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to turn off the camera. And if you guys want to, we're going to have Izzy's family come up. Everybody, all the families invited up, by the way. And so